1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Giles Corran Has No Idea. It's called this not because I literally know nothing, but because it's all about the moment in the week when I have to sit down and write my column but have absolutely no idea what to write it about, which is where my wife Esther comes in, who, having read all the papers whilst I take the kids to school, always has half a dozen ideas picked out for me when I get back to be discussed at the kitchen table over a nice cup of coffee. Well, the main problem I think we have this morning is that we had an actual row. I'm glad that makes you laugh, because I really am, because basically the key thing about this podcast is you laughing and giggling and being all happy. And we, like, seriously, we had a row since this morning. I don't know why the third episode of our world-beating podcast looming at the record at 10 o'clock in the morning should have made us stressed or something. I believe it was my wife's fault. I believe that, yeah. The angle grinder that you can hear in the background is not annoying me at all. Yeah, so we had an actual row. So whether or not, suddenly I'll discover whether she really thinks I'm funny or not, or and vice versa, because mostly we just laugh at each other's stuff. But if we're having a row, then it won't work. How are you feeling, darling?
I feel fine.
You don't think I should admit publicly that we have actual rows?
I think you should go boil your head, darling. That's what, yes, I think. Shall we talk about racism? So much race stuff in the papers this week, with Donald Trump telling...
the squad, the four non-white American politicians.
Are they all senators?
Or are they congresswomen? We'd have to, you see, then we'd have to know all about American politics. But they're well important elected representatives. And three of them were born in America, and one of them came as a refugee from Somalia when she was 10. And he said, if they don't like it, they can go back home. Right. I suddenly was about to start doing a Trump impression, and everyone can do them in the whole world.
Except us.
But yeah, so obviously that's sick and disgusting, and is that racist language?
But there's also been other stuff which has energised the race debate rather than being actually racism per se, which is that we've now got the remaking the Disney film The Little Mermaid. I think it's live action, and the new Little Mermaid, it's going to be black.
Okay, and so here,
yeah,
I saw there's an online forums, angry kind of, I guess, white supremacists, but they probably don't think they are, just kind of right-wing, quiet little people in their bedrooms, complaining about the Black Mermaid, saying, actually, I think you'll find that the human and the mermaid evolutionary branch split 70 million years ago, before there were black people. There were no people,
yes,
and there were no fucking mermaids. But it's when it gets identified as supreme wokeism to make a black mermaid as like a gesture, or to cast, as we've had this week, to cast Dev Patel in David Copperfield. Isn't it a bit oversensitive? And aren't they trying too hard? But no, because the leader of the free world says things like, "Go back where you came from. If you don't like it, you can go back home." What do you say to Dev Patel, the Asian David Copperfield? Where does he go back to? It's like, I think there's I read Our Mutual Friend not that long ago, and when we were in India, and I remember reading this thing about people who live on the dust heaps, which don't exist anymore. You don't have public rubbish dumps in this country.
No.
People who made a living on the dust heaps rose to high office, but the society was against them, and they were ground into the, you know, that couldn't really imagine. Then you're in India, where people, there are a lot of the least fortunate members of society do live on rubbish heaps and do scavenge from there. My word, Our Mutual Friend, it is relevant in Mumbai in a way that it isn't in England anymore. Set it there. The Gurinder Chadha, lovely Gurinder Chadha. I made that TV show about Jane Austen.
Yes.
And Gurinder Chadha made Bride and Prejudice. I mean, a pretty rubbish pun, although she's a wonderful writer, but where the whole thing was set in India,
yes.
because she was saying, look, this whole nonsense about weddings and who we're going to get married to, and do you marry for love, or do you marry for money, or do you marry for status, this seems to be a more relevant thing in India than it is in England. And I went and met, India or Pakistan, and I went and met the Jane Austen
group.
Society of Lahore.
Yes.
It was a
society.
Or was it Karachi? It was, anyway.
It was a society, not a book group. They were literally the Jane Austen Society.
They were literally the society. And these women who were, they were very literate, upper middle class, educated women were saying, the particular woman said, for me, growing up, Pride and Prejudice was not a novel. It was a guidebook.
Mm.
It was literally, this is what my life was like. So therefore, do you need to make Pride and Prejudice where everyone in it is Asian? Or can you just say, here's Pride and Prejudice, interpret it how you want?
Yes, exactly. Like David Copperfield.
I mean, what's the other...
How is this a column, though?
I don't know. So how would you... I suppose it's not hilarious, but it's like, who would you put in to play nowadays Oliver Twist?
Because It's not Mark Lester.
It's not some little white boy with a ruby...
No, with a blonde haircut.
And Fagin sure as hell isn't some scary old Jew. Do you know an interesting thing about the Fagin and Oliver Twist? Okay, if you read Oliver Twist, you will find Fagin referred to in the first 16 chapters as the Jew. And he goes, the Jew came in, the Jew grabbed him, the Jew shouted, the Jew said. And Oliver Twist was obviously famously published in instalments. And by about instalment 15, Dickens got a letter from an American benefactress who was Jewish, and who one of his benefactors who sort of paid to help him get along in life. And she wrote to him and said, look, constantly calling him the Jew, the Jew, the Jew, is a bit upsetting to us Jews, who in America are quite a big deal, even if they're not in England. And Dickens wrote back and said, I'm so, so sorry, I won't do it again. Yeah. And the word Jew disappears just like that from Oliver
really
Twist. And they haven't re-edited it. And if you read Oliver Twist, you will just see the Jew, the Jew, the Jew, the Jew, and suddenly Fagin. And suddenly the fact that he's a Jew and the Jew stereotype disappears within the course of the actual book.
That is an interesting historical fact. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. What else can we do?
We could move from race and identity to Kate Winslet, Who Do You Think You Are? Or is that now
Kate
boring?
Kate Winslet, no. I don't think it's boring.
Okay,
why is
good.
It boring?
No, I don't know.
I've tried to write the letters Who Do You Think You Are. I tried to write down to abbreviate it to WDT and then I couldn't spell it anymore.
Who Do You Think You Are?
WTDYA, as I think it's
Kate
called.
Winslet.
Kate Winslet has gone on there and said she'd be disgusted if she discovered she'd come from money.
That's really made everyone really quite angry.
The idea that you have to be you're so pleased with how poor you are, which is what actors are always trying to do, that she said she was disgusted to learn she came from money. Now, if we did...
She would be disgusted to learn if she had come from money, but she was relieved that she did not and that all her ancestors were
Whereas,
poor.
For example, my brother-in-law, Alexander Armstrong, who I love dearly, was delighted to discover that he was descended from the Duke of Buccleuch and threw him to Edward III and finally to William the Conqueror. This was marvellous news for Xander. It showed how posh he was. Mm. And then Danny Dyer was as well.
And then Danny Dyer is basically a member of the royal family.
Yeah.
And was really, really pleased.
Not even remotely disgusted.
Not remotely disgusted.
Over the fucking moon he was to discover
so
that he came
happy.
From money. And so Kate Winslet, okay, so she would have been disgusted.
That's a very strong word.
When I read the sentence, I would have been disgusted to learn that I came from, and I thought, well, you're very woke, slave owners.
Yeah.
Fair enough. She's disgusted not because she's descended from slave owners, not because she's descended from Nazis, not because she's descended from her, because she's descended from money. Supposing you went on. Have I got whatever it's called?
Have I got DNA?
What do you think you am? If you went on this show and we discovered you came from money, we'd go and find it.
We'd
go and find
this,
whoever
yes.
it was.
Well, no, do you know what? I did.
Go on, Who Have I Got...
No, I didn't go on Who Have I Got DNA for You.
Yeah.
Something like great-great-great-aunt
They were just
something.
Welsh...
No, on the other side, on my dad's side, they were from kind of a Midlands, I think, textile factory owners. Someone really bad. And the
where's the fucking money gone?
Let me tell you. The surname was Wrangle, okay? And the matriarch died with all this money, and she wanted the money to be dispersed equally between all of her grandchildren. And the case, so it was a chancery case, and they spent so long trying to track down all her descendants.
Jarndyce and Jarndyce.
It is the basis for the case of Jarndyce and Jarndyce.
Well, actually you're actually descended
yes.
So but unfortunately you're not descended from any money. You're descended from
it's
no
all
money.
Gone. I'm descended from a very complicated chancery case. I am also.
Wait, can we get money for Bleak House?
It is.
And how come is your name Walker when it was Wrangle?
Because it's the it was my, hang on, let me get this right. It was my grandmother's side of the family. So my grandmother married a Walker, but her maiden name was Wrangle.
Not Wrangler,
like the
Jesus. So our son, who we called Samuel Henry Walker Corran, yes, to preserve, it would be called Samuel Henry Wrangle Corran.
Wrangle, yeah, exactly.
It could be hyphenated to Wrangle Corran.
My mother is also related to, I think it's Billy the Kid. But all his money's stolen.
Rubbish.
But my mum.
I love your mum. I know. But she's, her she stories does, about her, but fucking Billy the Kid. Did he have children? He was a kid.
No, wait, was it Billy the Kid or was it someone else? It was one
Jesse
of those,
James.
Jesse James.
Rubbish. No, shut up. Got Buffalo Bill. The Lone Ranger. Batman. What do you mean, Jesse James?
Jesse James.
Was he Welsh by any chance?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
And they're all
and
related
was
to
he
each
a
other.
Drover in Cardiganshire?
Well, he went to America before.
Was that originally the story behind The Lone Ranger? What, can we get money from Johnny Depp for that?
But I listen, we can give it a go. But you know what my mother's like? She is beside herself with delight because I've got this blood type. My blood type is B negative. And that is
that why you always have to be negative?
Well, I wonder sometimes if it has affected my personality in that
People
way.
Might think I scripted that joke, but I just thought of it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yes, it's a very obvious joke about my blood type, but thanks for coming along. And my blood type is B negative. It's really, really rare. And obviously my mother, who I love dearly and is brilliant, she thinks anything that's rare is a good thing. No, mummy, if you have a rare blood type, it means if you're hit by a car, you're toast because there's no spare blood and you can't have anyone else. I think you have owner. Anyway, I've got this rare blood type that is mostly found in the state of Gujarat, which is an area of India. Mm-hmm. And my mother, for some reason, is absolutely delighted by this. And she said, well, it explains everything. It explains your, I mean, like what?
Your freckles and your red hair.
Red hair and my brown eye. I mean, I don't get it. But my mum, she, I think you get to a certain age
but
and
your
you become
mum
obsessed.
To be from Gujarat is the same thing as Kate Winslet wanting to be a Swedish peasant. The main thing you can turn out to be if you're some privileged white dick is that there was someone black 1,500 generations ago.
My mum is privileged, but she's not a dick. Like,
I didn't mean that. Obviously, that's going to be...
Kate
Winslet is a dick.
Did you just call my mum a dick?
Every time you say my mum, comma, who I love, every time. No, no, I didn't mean that. No, not at all.
I think you just called my mum a
dick. I didn't at all. I so wouldn't. But if I went on...
Yeah. Well, who
do you think you are? And they did inquire once when I was famous years ago.
It would be a sad story, wouldn't it?
Well, it is a sad story, but it'd be really boring because I wouldn't be disgusted to find out I come from money because my family on one side are Polish Jews who left in 1903 because they were chased at the point of pitchforks by Cossacks. And then the one they left Slovakia in 1939 because the Nazis came. So for me, and like I am a child of privilege and I am posh and I went to a public school and I'll probably be prime minister one day and everyone thinks I'm a massive wanker because of that. For me to sit here and read Kate fucking Winslet going, I'd be disgusted if I came from money.
Yeah.
To think you're fucking lucky you've descended from people who weren't just wiped out on both sides.
Mm.
Don't say anything. That's the way to end.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, right. Sleep.
Okay.
How much sleep do you get a night, Giles? Is it enough?
You're asking me that as if you're an interviewer from the finance... Well, they wouldn't be... Like, who's come from a... You know exactly how much sleep I get. Because I sleep and I snore and it keeps you awake and you bitch about it. And I wake up in the morning and you're not there. And I think, what did I do? Has she gone out drinking? Did one of my children die in the night? Or has she gone upstairs by pretending I was snoring? Or gaslighting, as I believe it's known. Making a man think that he snores when he doesn't.
Which was the basis of our row this morning, which is why Giles brought it up. No, I'm bringing up sleep because the government issued guidelines, along with guidelines about how you shouldn't take drugs and how much alcohol you should drink and some other stuff that's not interesting, about how much sleep you should get.
Well, they're planning to, aren't they? They're planning to issue a directive.
Okay, and it says you ought to get 7 hours sleep a night, and any less is damaging to your health.
Because which is fantastic news that the government is finally taking a stance on this, because sleep is very, very important. Now, I sleep very, very well, and so do you, but I know that there are insomniacs. A lot of people I know are insomniacs. They can't sleep, they wake up in the night, they worry, they've got the anxieties of the world, they can't get to sleep, it has links to obesity and cancer and heart disease. It's a terrible fucking... Now the government is telling you, you have to sleep for 7 hours a night. It's going to be much easier for them. Yeah. You wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, full of worried about climate change and the children, if they're going to have a future to grow up into, whether you've got enough money, whether you're wife loves you or not, but then you remember, oh shit, I have this, legally I have to be, I must go to sleep, there'll be a ring at the doorbell, there'll be the police, exactly. The police will come round and say,
there'll be a spook on your doorstep with a flashlight going, is everybody asleep in here?
Is everyone asleep?
Go to sleep.
Yep, it's going to be like those neighbours in Camberwell of Boris Johnson's who are listening through the thing for a row. They're going to be phoning up, think Johnson's awake?
He's still awake. Making himself a milky drink.
And he's still watching
awake.
Television.
Yep. They are not obeying the 7 hour a night
Is
sleep
it 7 hours?
Yeah.
That's my afternoon nap. I mean, 7 hours, child's play.
Oh, that's what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I thought you maybe turn this into a column. It could be Jiny's sleep diary. Hilarious things that happen to you in the middle of the night that mean you don't get enough sleep. No, you're looking at me.
Got up, had a wank, got back, didn't work, got up,
didn't
had another
work.
One.
Okay, well, no.
Had a hot drink. No, what? Hot sorry, they won't use that anyway because you can't say, yes. Can't admit to... Honestly, no. You have to present the notion that you're a happily married man, and why would you need to wank with all the sex you're having with your wife regularly? So what's the sleep diary?
I feel so sorry for Ben at times like this. Yeah. He's come into our kitchen.
He's got headphones on. He's not listening to us. He's got headphones on. He's listening to Iron
Test
Maiden so loud as he possibly can, so that he can't hear me complaining.
He's walked into this miasma of just shitty mood.
I love it when you misuse a word. I mean, miasma. I mean, totally not a miasma.
Is that not
miasma? Is that not a miasma? Like where they used to think that diseases came from. It's kind of
describes the bad atmosphere
in
this
house.
It's
kind of wet, sticky, airy type of miasma.
Yes, miasma.
That's what you mean. All right, fine.
You know, that is accurate. Okay, fuck sleep.
Tell me about the sleep diary. It might work.
Your sleep... Well, it was just an idea. Again, I'm not here to write your column for you, darling. I'm here to give you ideas.
And when I say
darling, I mean a different word. My sleep diary. So I am going to, in order to be a good citizen, I am going to get my sleep diary and I'm going to follow tips, and you can have sort of ludicrous...
Sorry, that was
that
knuckle.
The sound of your knuckles cracking?
It was disgusting. I'm sorry, I didn't think it would be that loud.
It's revolting.
Did you hear that through the cans? Yeah, that was disgusting. I'm so sorry.
Oh.
I don't think I'm ever going to be able to hold a pen again. I think I just broke four knuckles.
God, with any luck. And you can have ludicrous sleep tips that we found.
Where's the story? The Daily Telegraph. Because I've realised that for this podcast, I've been really just reading the Times because... It's important that I know what Times you're reading, and I've been reading the Daily Mail because it's lovely to get just massive wrong shit to joke about.
Yeah.
But this story was in the Daily Telegraph and they about the government sleep directives, and then it had how to get a good night's kip, which it illustrated with a picture of some various different pictures of super hot girls in bed.
Very pretty girls.
I can see what they're doing there. They're trying to put some pictures of super hot girls in there, and one of them is drinking a mug of something. With her long, slender, tanned fingernails against a cushion, and she's peeking up over the top of the mug.
Coquettish. Thinking,
you've caught me in the middle of drinking a delicious drink.
I was doing something naughty, and now you're here.
And now I get to be in the Daily Telegraph in a piece for people of 95 years old who haven't slept since the 70s. Drink banana tea is the top one. We've heard of chamomile, nighttime and other soporific blends, but banana tea is a lesser known but tasty sleep inducing drink made by adding banana and its skin to boiling water with a touch of... fuck off properly.
You're ridiculous.
Did you ever smoke dried banana skins when you were a kid and they didn't have... I was going to say when you were a kid and they didn't have weed. Of course, when I was a kid, they didn't really have weed. But when Ben was, they did.
They had Thai sticks.
Ben
and
stuff, all
yeah,
that shit going on. When I was
cash.
A kid, you couldn't really get weed much at your... boarding school. So anyway, we used to smoke, if not nutmeg, when then dried banana leaves. So they may not be, so the Telegraph may be endorsing, what are those called, those drugs that aren't drugs that they have in prison? Oh no, those are drugs, aren't they?
Where you get the best drugs is in prison.
No, whatever they're called, like fake drugs, synthetic drugs. Anyway, banana. Spend less time staring at a screen.
Yeah, cheers.
So basically stop reading the Telegraph online. Although the Telegraph is... exclusively read by people in a newspaper, not online. They don't even know what
with
it is.
Huge table so they can spread it out. Like,
read
rush,
it with massive telescope.
An enormous kind of parachute of a newspaper.
Buy new pillows. We've heard of changing our mattress every few years, but did you know you should change your pillow every 3 years? This piece is brought to you by the National Pillow Company. Work out earlier in the day. Bear in mind, this is the Daily Telegraph telling it's not nonagenarian people. Yeah. When they say work out earlier in the day, they mean cross the telly room on your walking frame a little bit earlier. If you not that I'm being mean about old people, I did that last week. If you exercise within 4 hours of going to bed...
Sorry.
What? Did I say something? I'm glad you're laughing. It means our row didn't matter. Can you cut this laugh in with the earlier stuff to show she loves me? Work out earlier... Why are you laughing?
Sorry, it's the walking first, the telly room, you're so mean. You're just the meanest.
Jeremy Paxman said last week or the week before, and I wrote about it, that old people are the last people you can be mean about.
I
if
know.
Paxo says so. I said old people are the last people you can be mean about. No, that's an old joke. I've done that before. Oh, look at this. Work out earlier in the day. Anyway, if you exercise within 4 hours of going to bed, not only does it raise your body temperature and cause dehydration, but it also produces stress hormones called cortisol and norepinephrine. It's like stress is your favourite.
Made it up a lot.
And made it up a lot of fiend. Stress hormones such as stressophine and
stressy.
And insomniaphone, which keep you alert. Oh, and then it says according to the Times. This must be true. Anyway, and you've got some fake sleep tips you've written down here.
I have.
You completely spoiled everything. You know.
I have. I have spoiled the thing that we were going to do. But you could. I was doing your sleep diary, saying I'm a good citizen. I'm going to get my 7 hours of sleep a night. I'm going to follow these sleep tips, some of which are true and some of which are made up.
Yeah. Because what I was going to do was read you the Telegraph tips and then make
and
up some and see if you could guess.
See if I could guess.
But you've written down some fake ones.
I was avoid trying to be helpful.
I'm going to read them without having looked at them. Maybe they're avoid eating spicy food as the spice activates the adrenal glands and makes it harder to nod off.
Funny,
is that not true?
No, it's not true.
I bet it is true.
I made it up.
You see, that's the thing. In your attempt to be humorous, you've told the truth. I bet that's true. Spicy food must keep you awake. And it probably does.
I literally made it up.
Spend time with an animal. Research shows spending time petting or stroking an animal reduces tension and stress. And that's true.
I know, but it's not. But it's not.
It's true. You've attempted to write some funny spoof things that make you go to sleep. And they're all true.
I
was writing this in the Life and Beauty, whatever it's called, section, which I'm sure there is one in the Times, which I read cover to cover every
body
day.
And soul,
body and soul.
Moron.
Body and
literally
soul.
Literally worked there for 400 years.
Sorry. For the body and soul section. This is here comes another one. I bet. Say your prayers or any other mindful meditation for 10 minutes before. That's true as well. What's the fourth one?
I don't. No, that one is ludicrous.
Don't have lilies in your house. Some types of lily are lethal to cats.
That's
but did
true.
You know that all lily pollen contains Bavarian sulfate, which is a mild amphetamine, which I bet that. Well,
it's not true.
No, but it's so nearly true as to
I
not.
Know. I know. Do you know? I'm not. The
look
funny
at this one.
Afraid.
Have sex with your husband before going to sleep.
No, that's very enervating. That doesn't make you go to sleep.
Not in your case.
It makes men fall asleep and it makes women not stay awake. That's true.
You go to sleep all secure in the knowledge you don't have to do it for another month.
Cut that out, Ben.
Nope, leave it in.
What's next?
Here's one I noticed on in a small nib item. A nib item, a news and brief item from the Times. Lucky you're not here. A postcard written by D.H. Lawrence to a friend in 1911. Sorry, I lived in. A postcard written in 1911 by D.H. Lawrence. Author of Lady Chatterley's Lover and all that stuff, in which he describes the Derbyshire town of Shirebrook as hideous, is expected to fetch £250. So what did D.H. Lawrence write? He probably wrote Shirebrook, Shitebrook, more likely. where did he write it? Everyone thinks TripAdvisor is a modern phenomenon. Mm. Imagine TripAdvisor, which is just a load of, you know, where people just go on to vent their grievances. 108 years later, people are still paying good money for D.H. Lawrence's opinion. What if the great authors were on TripAdvisor?
Yeah, well, we already know what's his face thought of Slough. He wanted to
come friendly bombs and fall on Slough, said P.H. Blunderfuck. It wasn't J.V. Priestley, it was John Betterman.
Thank you.
Although P.H. Blunderfuck came later with his own version of any. Basically, you can make up any modernist English writer by putting two letters and a stupid word together.
And William Wordsworth liked the Lake District, but maybe he was being paid to stay there.
Maybe he was.
Exactly. One of those.
I wandered lonely as a
fake review. Fake review.
Fake review.
From William Wordsworth.
I wandered lonely as a cloud when all at once I saw a host of golden daffodils, but they weren't being very well looked after, and my tea was late. What's TripAdvisor's? Come on, help
Charles
me.
Charles Dickens. Tom All Alone's very disappointing breakfast.
Exactly. Well, Alfred Hitchcock. So Alfred Hitchcock, Bates Motel. Terrific breakfast.
Bit noisy.
Service slow. Sound of cackling. What does the old lady do? Oh, yeah. No, that's what... Sorry. No, what do we say? Terrific hotel. Shower facilities a bit grubby.
No, this is good.
Yes.
No, this is fun.
Dangerous in... Yeah, exactly. This is good, isn't it? This is good. Who wrote The Shining? Someone wrote... Stephen King wrote The Shining.
Yep.
Stephen King. Hotel... Corridors a bit long, and loo door flimsy, sort of thing. You know, here's Johnny. Other famous, right? Canterbury Tales. Canterbury. So it would be what was the name of the pub that they start off in the Canterbury Tales? No. Don't Google it.
The Merry Pony.
No, come on, Ben. You know this. The pub in the. No, don't.
I'm not googling it.
At the Tabard in Southwark. Did I lie? There we go. So the Tabard Inn in Southwark.
Yes.
Geoffrey Chaucer. Great food. Full of fucking pilgrims.
I'm
sorry there was so much preamble, but that's a top joke. Other places of hostelries that have appeared in it? Shakespeare, Henry IV, Part 1. I know you've read that because you did it for A-level or O-level or something, or whatever they had by the GCSE. So it's the Boar's Head in Eastcheap.
And it's Mistress Quickly, isn't it? Slowly with the ale pie.
Yes, Mistress Quickly. Quickly
by
We've
name.
Both put our hands on our hips in order to look like that's it. Mistress Slowly, more like. Yeah. That's the kind of gang you get.
Slowly, my oysters and eels.
Yes, exactly. Okay, and another one. One more. Come on, another one.
What about the Orient Express?
Yes, exactly. A. Christie.
Orient
Express. Dining car.
Covered in blood.
Blah blah blah. Everyone dead. Something biblical.
Oh,
come on. Belshazzar's feast. Is Belshazzar's feet? Is that the one when they write on the wall?
Isn't that the one where he brings...
The head of... Yes! Salome. What? Salome, the daughter of Herod,
yeah,
asks for John the Baptist's head on a plate.
But she was only joking.
Joking would be pushing it.
Right.
She's persuaded by her mother, who hates...
Someone else.
I'm more of an Old Testament guy. But anyway, so at this feast of somebody, I think it's Belshazzar's feast. There's also a feast in the Old Testament where there's writing on the wall. Is that the one
where Jesus brings Lazarus back to life?
No,
that's the wedding feast.
Although, he does water in the wine at the wedding, at Jesus' first miracle, and it's the wedding at, help me, Christian.
Cana.
For fuck's sake, Cana.
Yeah, Cana.
Cana. The wedding at Cana, water turned in... reviewed.
Ridiculous markup on the water.
Yeah. Great joke.
Something. Corkage.
Geezer turned water into wine.
Yeah.
Cheap Pinot Noir.
BYO.
Would be better in 20
Da-da-da-da.
Years.
Corkage.
Wine list shit. That's what it is. Wedding at Cana.
Terrible wine list.
Terrible wine list. All there was this stuff that a beardy bloke said, this is wine.
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with Giles Corran and Esther Walker. It's a Times podcast produced by Ben Mitchell. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to avoid ever missing an episode. And if you want to find out what I wrote about in the end, there's a link to my column in the podcast description.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.